Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to Essex Church and to this, our gathered community of Kensington Unitarians. Welcome to all who are new here today. Welcome to all who are here regularly. Welcome to occasional visitors. Welcome to all. And an especial welcome today to our podcast listeners, several of whom have been in touch lately. And at some future point, at some place in the world, it pleases me to imagine somebody listening to this podcast. And I think of people in India, Washington, Ireland, the Carolinas, both north and south, in Seattle and Poland, in York, Wakefield and Sheffield, just some of the places where our regular listeners are based. Not to mention congregation members here in London who are not able to be with us this morning. I hope you all feel part of this community, however many miles you are away or however you are feeling at this moment. Those of us who are here in physical form this morning, we've made our different journeys to be here, by bus and by tube, on foot or bicycle, in cars, on trains. There may even be the odd aeroplane involved in somebody's journey. And probably between us, as well as all these different modes of transport, we'll probably cover a wide range of human conditions too. Some of us may be sleepy still, some wide awake, some joyful, some troubled, some annoyed or peaceful. But may we all find something in this next hour that speaks to us personally in some way. May we be challenged or soothed, cheered or sobered, uplifted or taken deeper. And may our souls be nourished and enriched by spending this time together. My colleague, Andy Pakula, writes of our chalice, symbol of our worldwide liberal religious faith, as a sacred flame, as wisdom brought to life. May it guide us with the light of hope and the warmth of love, the beacon of purpose and meaning, because at times we are all afraid of the dark. So let there be light. Some of you may know that today is the start of Interfaith Week here in Britain, where we're all encouraged to recognise and appreciate the many faith communities that form part of our society. I'd particularly like to mention the faith groups that meet here in Essex Church, our Jewish community of Beit Klal Yisrael, our Japanese religious group, Soicho No Ye, our Sufi community, and our Eritrean cultural support group, and there are many others. And I think with these groups and many more throughout our land in mind, let's join now in a time of prayer and reflection. As I call on the one spirit of life and love to be with us now, the one spirit that manifests in so many different forms throughout our world, the one spirit, the one light, shining through all that exists. Let there be light. Let there be understanding. Let there be compassion along all the paths that humanity creates and walks upon. The many paths. The many, many forms of expression for something that is beyond us and yet within us. In a moment of stillness now, I invite you to sense that one light shining within us and connecting us with all else that exists. I invite you to hold in mind a group or perhaps an individual that you find it difficult to understand or feel compassionate towards. Let's imagine the connection between us growing stronger. our ability to view reality from their perspective increasing. May we work in life for an increasing acceptance of diversity and difference in ourselves and others. Let us work towards peace and understanding in ourselves, in our communities, and in our wider world. And may this be so for the greater good of all. Amen.
Goat in the Pickup by Meg Barnhouse. Some sights in this world embed themselves in memory and encapsulate a truth about life in a way that words just can't. I saw one of those one day when I came up fast behind a slow flatbed pickup truck on a mountain road. In the back of the truck was a man holding a goat. The goat was standing, stiff-legged, and the man was talking to it. The goat was trying to look over the side of the truck bed, but the scenery whizzing past was no comfort. The man, who had warm brown skin and the clothes of a farmer, kept talking in its ear. Slowly, the goat folded its legs and sat down in the man's lap. Lifting its head into the breeze, eyes closed, it finally relaxed. I could almost hear myself with my next therapy client saying, "Yep, this is a real goat in the back of a pickup truck situation." I recognise that situation. I have been that goat in the back of a pickup truck heaving itself around mountainous curves. Out of place, out of my element, deeply confused, with no helpful experience to help me deal with my predicament. Sometimes there is someone whispering in my ear, "Just stay calm, sit down. Give up. Everything's going to be all right." In such a situation, the first thing I want to do is keep my feet. I want to stay up, ready to spring into action at a moment's notice. I want to see over the side, even though that only makes things worse. I can't figure out if I'm on my way to a better place with deeper grass and better company, or whether I'm being transported to the slaughterhouse. The whole time I hear a voice saying, "Just sit for a while and relax. Surrender to events. Don't try to intervene at this time. Detach yourself from outcomes." I don't know whether the voice is from the spirit of life or the goat meat factory. Eventually, I figure out that there is nothing to be done at this point. My fear isn't helping. My feet can't help. My alertness is working against me. I need to let go until such time as action is possible. I decide to enjoy the nice voice in my ear, to sit down, to gather my thoughts, to worry about it later. I have worked hard to find my place, to find my strength, to surround myself with trusted voices. Every now and then, though, I still find myself in the goat in the pickup truck situation. May I be given the wisdom to know when to sit and just let my ears flap in the breeze.
We have a responsive reading now, which is on your yellow hymn sheet. And so perhaps if you find that now and have a look, because you can choose. Today you might be a person who wants to keep repeating the same message, and in which case go for the bold print. Or you might like some changes, in which case join in with the because lines. And let's read to each other this responsive reading, a litany of wholeheartedness. Because there have been times when shame has crushed our ability to be wholehearted. We let go of who we ought to be and embrace who we are. Because we have not always had the courage to be imperfect, we let go of who we ought to be and embrace who we are. Because we have struggled to have compassion for ourselves or others, we let go of who we ought to be and embrace who we are. Because we have been afraid of our own vulnerability, we let go of who we ought to be and embrace who we are. Because we are sometimes too scared to live authentically, we let go of who we ought to be and embrace who we are. Because we want to be wholehearted people, confident in our own worthiness and our belonging, we let go of who we ought to be and embrace who we are. Fear. La 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 la. It's completely normal to feel fear. Our fears start in childhood from those two universal fears of falling and loud noises. Everybody has them. And then don't we just all soon add to the list? I wonder about all of you. Were you fearful children? I was terribly, terribly fearful when I was young. I added to that list quickly. Spiders, that was a very early one. Things under the bed. Certain other animals. Fear of public speaking. I have to be drugged now to do this every week. Fear of flying, etc., etc., etc. Add your own to that list. And these are specific fears, aren't they? But most of us at times will also know only too well. Those more generalised forms of being afraid, those worries and those anxieties that circle around in our minds, often not focused on any one specific thing. And really, as I explore this topic this morning, I absolutely want to acknowledge how dreadful it can be to feel fear. And how so some form or another of anxiety is one of the most commonly experienced psychological conditions, and how utterly debilitating that can be. So to be afraid is a very common experience. No wonder then that fear is a subject so often mentioned by the world's religions. Calling on a higher power can sometimes be greatly comforting when we are afraid. You may have heard the story of the child asked by his mum to pop out into the garden to fetch the sweeping brush. The garden is dark. The child does not want to go out there in the dark. His mum reassures him by telling him that Jesus is out there and will protect him at all times. And then she spots her little boy standing by the open door, calling out into the garden, "Jesus, if you are there, can you bring the sweeping brush in for us?" We know the biology of fear. We perceive a potential source of danger. The spider, for example, that was dangling down over my bed only the other night. And digressing for a moment, what is it with spiders at the moment? Is it just my home that they're all rushing to invade? Or are they coming to visit you too? Yeah, we all know the biology of fear. Our body releases adrenaline, a hormone designed to get us going. We experience that fight or flight rush that can help us escape or stand to face the danger. Out of bed, for example, to fetch the cup to try and collect the spider in, because I'm also afraid of hurting spiders in any way, which is another problem with those legs that get caught. And when the source of fear is removed, well, generally, our body can return to a calmer state. And we know, don't we, that this flight or fight response was very useful to us humans in those very early days. It allowed us to escape from angry woolly mammoths, perhaps, or saber-toothed tigers, or it encouraged us to stand and fight to protect our threatened loved ones. And our fear response is still very useful in many situations today. It will get you quickly out of the path of a red London bus, for example. And our fear response is so sensitive that even talking or reading about fear will bring about a slight increase in our heart rate at this very moment. We are primed and ready because we never know what's going to happen next. I am absolutely confident that if that saber-toothed tiger walked through that door at that moment, we'd be all out of there in double quick time. But don't we also know how some aspects of this physiological response can be troublesome in everyday life? Adrenaline increases our heart rate. It can make us sweat or blush or smile inappropriately. It can make us freeze like a rabbit caught in the headlights of an oncoming car. Because fear is such a strong emotion, it can have a remarkably strong effect on us and how we live our lives. I suspect many of us here today will know at least some of the ways in which our fears have limited our lives, the ways we've held back at times, not stepped out into a new beginning or a way of being in life. And from our childhood days, we'll tend to be sent out into the world with a kind of take care message that implies that this world is a scary, anxious-making place. Interesting to imagine then, perhaps, how different life might be if we heard more of the off you go, darling, take risks today, make mistakes, don't worry about being a fool, it's fine to fail kind of messages. I was on a retreat recently where we had some small group sessions, and at one of those, one of the participants said that on the path of self-reflection, she felt there was only one question that needed to be asked and answered, and that was, who would we be if we were not afraid? And we broadened it to who would we be and what would we do if we were not afraid? And it became a useful tool to reflect on the many ways that we limit our living through fear. It led to some deep and gently challenging conversation, and perhaps it's a question that we can explore with one another. But I wondered about its implication that fear can be in some way got rid of, vanquished, overcome. Susan Jeffers, in her famous book of the 80s, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, took a slightly different approach. One of her five truths about fear is that the fear will never go away as long as you continue to grow. Because every time you take a step into the unknown, you experience fear. There's no point in saying then, when I am no longer afraid, I will do it, dot, 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 because you'll be waiting for a long time. The fear, Susan Jeffers says, is part of the package. I found her message helpful, that fear is part of being alive, and by acknowledging it and accepting it as part and parcel of living, well, we can start to live life a bit more fully. We can grow and develop. But Susan Jeffers herself can find a tad too, can sound a tad too jolly for me at times. Here's another of her five truths about fear. Pushing through fear is less frightening than living with the bigger underlying fear that comes from a feeling of helplessness. This is the one truth, she says, that some people have difficulty understanding. When you push through the fear, you'll feel such a sense of relief as your feeling of helplessness subsides. You'll wonder why you did not take action sooner. You will become more and more aware that you can truly handle anything that life hands you. But I don't know about you, but yes, there have been times in my life where I have pushed through my fears. And yes, over the years, I have felt a greater sense that I can handle what life throws my way. But I've also come to appreciate fear for the messages it brings me. Rather than pushing fear away, trying to brush it under that proverbial carpet, I've learnt to value and respect it. Much as I love those biblical messages of be not afraid, especially when delivered by large numbers of hovering angels to a group of understandably cowering shepherds, but still, I think the alternative message might be just as helpful. Be afraid. Be human. Life is scary and uncertain. Accept your fear. Breathe with it. And then assess the situation. Reflect for a moment. Is this a red bus moment where we really do need all the energy that this adrenaline is giving us in order to get out of danger quick? Or is this a goat in the backup of the pickup truck situation that we heard of in that reading earlier on when Meg Barnhouse writes, "Just sit for a while and relax. Surrender to events. Don't try to intervene at this time. Detach yourself from outcomes." May we be given the wisdom to know when to sit and just let our ears flap in the breeze. Amen. A Swedish blessing tells us, "Fear less, hope more, whine less, breathe more, talk less, say more, hate less, love more, and all good things are yours." And so may this be true for you in the days ahead. May you be comforted and challenged, stepping out into the world knowing that there are always risks, trusting that you have the resources needed to deal with them. Amen. Go well and blessed be.